Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, I'll run you through some of the common tasks that you'll find yourself going through whenever you're working with Azure SQL. For the most part, I'm going to be borrowing heavily from this page. You can see the URL. It's where we ended up in the previous module. Getting started with Microsoft Azure SQL Database runs you through many of the typical scenarios, including things like actually creating users and roles, which we're not going to do in this lesson, and then talking about how to deal with transient errors, which we'll talk about at the very end, but I'm not going to demonstrate it. There's code that you can borrow and kind of see how to do that and why you'd need to. Instead, let's go ahead and get started and create a new SQL database and then talk about databases and servers and things like that and move on to management from there. So to create a new database, I'm going to go to New Data Services. I'm going to select SQL Database, and I'm going to click Quick Create. And here I get a couple of choices. I'm just going to call this Bob's Demo. And I can choose a server. I can choose an existing server that I've already set up, or I can create a new SQL Database server. Now, remember, the server is just where your database is going to reside. Your database is essentially just a file or a grouping of files. You can choose which region you want those files stored in, and then also create a username and password as the admin on that server for all of your databases. In this case, as you can see, I could choose from any of these regions. It's important to note that you can only create 6 servers. Once you try to create your 7th, you'll be denied. It'll tell you to call tech support. And they'll be happy to increase the number of servers if you need it. I ran into that scenario, and I was just making mistakes. I was creating a new server every time I created a new database as I was learning. So at any rate, let's go ahead and create a new server. I'll create one in a different region than I normally do. I'll create one in the West. And create a password, and now we'll create that database. Okay, and so now if I go to the tab on the left, SQL Databases, you can see that currently we're creating the new database, and now it's online. So on this Databases tab, you can see all databases across all servers. On the Servers tab, you can see all servers that you've set up. And then finally, there's a tab that allows you to restore deleted databases, I think, within a given period of time. There are no restorable deleted databases for me. I had some, but once you delete the server, all of the databases that you deleted are gone too, so you can't restore those. All right, so let's go in and take a look at a given server, like this one that we set up. I believe it's... let's see which one it's associated with here. Bob's Demo is on the one that begins with the letter G. That's how I have to remember it. And let's go ahead and select the Manage button here at the bottom. And one of the first things that it says is that the current IP address that you're logged in from, so this is the IP address for my studio where I'm recording this video, is not included in the existing firewall rules. So by default, Microsoft Azure does not allow anyone to access your SQL database except for those that are allowed from the firewall rules for the server, and you get to choose that as the administrator. Do you want to add this IP address and update the firewall rules? Yes. So now the only IP address where I can log in from as administrator or one of the users is this IP address, this 76.184.whatever, okay? And now I want to go ahead and continue. I'm going to say always allow pop-ups to go in and to manage this server. Now, from a server perspective, you can create a new database from the quick start. You can go to the dashboard and take a look at how many DTUs are used, the databases on this particular server. I've used up all my credits. At all these levels, the basic, the standard, and the premium. The location and so on. We can also reset the administrator password, and we can upgrade this database to some of the preview features in version 12. I'm not going to do that right now. From here, you can also see a list of all the databases on this server. You can configure things like the firewall rules and whether you want to allow Windows Azure services, Microsoft Azure services, to access this server. And by default, it's selected no, but if we select yes, then we can allow our Azure websites to access the databases on this server. The history tab gives you the import and export history. We can also see all the backups for the given server, which there shouldn't be any. And then finally, if we want to turn on auditing, you can, depending on which level that we want to depending on the level that we've chosen. I think I'm in standard level right now for this server, so I have the option. If I was on the basic, I would not have that option. There's also something called auditing, and you have to use security enable connection strings. You can create security enabled connection strings, I believe, on the database itself. I don't recall exactly where you do that, but that's not really necessary for this demo. So you can see that there's some other interesting options here. You can open this server in Visual Studio using this link. You can also copy information about this server to the clipboard, things of that nature. You can delete the entire server. Some interesting options here at the bottom. You can open up this selected database. Since I'm on the Databases tab, the selected database in Visual Studio, and manage it from there. You can copy database settings. In other words, you can create a copy of this database on one of your existing servers or create a new server to copy it to, which is a cool little feature. And then finally, you can delete that database off this server. I'm not going to do that right now. So let's go ahead and manage this database on this server. I'm going to click the Manage button in the toolbar at the bottom. That takes us to this Silverlight-based management portal. Here we're going to need to provide a username and a password. Now the username will be whatever we typed in when we created the database. In my case, it was Tabarro, T-A-B-R-R-O. But then you also have to do something else, which is a little bit tricky. You have to use the @ and then the name of the database. So I'm going to have to go up here to this is the easiest way for me to copy this. I'm going to copy that database name, which is that series of letters and numbers, and then you provide your password that you provided whenever you set up the database. Okay, so what we're looking at is the management portal for the database. Some interesting things about this. First of all, there are three different areas. There is the administration tab, the overview tab, and then the design tab. Let's start in the administration tab. You can basically just see what your current usage is on that database and any query performance. Looking at the queries that have been performed, most of these are going to be management style queries since we haven't really done anything with our own data just yet. We can also have open multiple databases here. I only have one database open so far. In the overview, this just gives you quick access to some of the features of Azure SQL, just a quick start, what's new, things of that nature. Also, you can see any of the databases that you currently have open. And then in the design view is really where things get interesting, and that's where you can create tables, create views, create stored procedures, or open a query window. So if we wanted to create a new table, and I'll just create a really simple one, you can see that it gives you a little bit of a head start here with an ID and a column one name. If I want to change something, I just click in there and say first name like that, and I can change the data type just like you could in SQL Server Management Studio. Let's make this ID the identity field. I don't think that I'll have to do anything else there. And then I'm going to make this last name. And let's change this to from nvarchar 15 to 50. And I think that's all we need to do. I can click add new column or can remove a new column. Now I can save this database. I can create new indexes and keys. You can see that I can add a foreign key relationship to this table. I can also go here and then hit enter, and that should be all I need to do to create that row. Let's add another row. Let's save the changes, and now when we save, it creates IDs for each of them, since that was an identity column. And let's see, from here, we can query then, select star from table one. Whoops, didn't spell everything correctly. And then run it. I can see the execution plan, and here in the query plan for the result. Now, I'm not an optimization guy, so I've never really done this sort of thing. Honestly, that would be something that a database administrator would use to fine-tune the database, add indexes, and things of that nature. I can also view an estimate of what the plan would be as opposed to the actual plan after I actually run the query. And then I can also save this query as a SQL file to my hard drive. Don't want to do that right now. So you might ask, well, how do you create users and roles? If you go again to this article, all that's going to be done using scripts. Let's see down here. I think they have a script for that. I can't find it. Yeah, here's a create a login. I find it easy to use the here's a create login and then add a role member. So you can add the new user that you created, SQL DB user, to a given role inside of your database. I find it easier just to use like SQL Server Management Studio. It will spit out some of the boilerplate code for you. We'll demo that in just a little bit. But as far as this Silverlight version of the management portal goes, there's one last thing I want to show you, and it's these My Work tabs. You can get back to any work that you were doing kind of as a little work session by clicking and looking at these, essentially these different tabs here. A query that I created, a table that I was designing, and then the original Bob's demo where I was looking at the query performance in the summary and things of that nature. So it's pretty neat. I'm going to go ahead and log off of this. And it asks, do you want to log off? You're going to lose some stuff that you're working on, like that SQL that I just did a select star from table one. I'm going to go ahead and click log off and close that out. All right, so that is the, let's leave that page. That is the management, the built-in management tool. What about connecting to the server from your client tools, like SQL Server Management Studio, for example? Let's see, I think you actually have to go to the databases. Let's go there and go to the dashboard for the database, and it will give you, a connection string. So here are connection strings for programmatic access. The thing that helps me see here is that here's the address that I might need if I'm going to use SQL Server Management Studio. So I actually have it open right now, and I'm gonna create a new connection. I'm going to actually go to the Object Explorer and select Connect to a Database Engine. Pops open this Connect to Server dialog that you're probably familiar with. You can't use Windows authentication. You have to use SQL Server authentication. And then also note that I have provided in this previous case all of this information here that I basically culled from here. I needed to actually copy the port number 2, 1433 as well. And so let's get back to this. And then I need to give it the username. So let's copy this portion of it again, like that. And then I'll give it my password. And then I can connect to it. And I can see the databases, Bob's demo database, and the tables for that database. And I can go and do everything that I would normally be able to do, like script creates or drops or insert, update, delete. So let me go ahead and just do a quick select and then hit execute. And you can see we get the same results that those two records that we created just a moment ago. Now, I said a moment ago that it's easier for me to just say, hey, if I need a new user, let me just right-click and select new user. It'll create a new query window with some boilerplate code where I can actually create the username And with some of this extra T-SQL, some of the extra T-SQL may or may not work. I'm not sure exactly if they have that working, but you can pretty much diagnose it. If it doesn't work in a simple case, you may have to remove some of these things like with default schema and so on. All right, but essentially that's connection from SQL Server Management Studio. How about from Visual Studio? Let me actually log out of here. Let me kill the connection and then close this down. Now, in the Server Explorer in Visual Studio, let me go ahead and log into Azure. Just make sure I'm good to go there. Give it my password. And now I should be able to go to view the management tree for all of these services. And let's go to SQL databases. And you can see Bob's demo exists there now. And I can right click it and select Open in SQL Server Object Explorer. This will allow me to look at all the tables, stored procedures, views, and things of that nature. All right, so, yes, it pops open this dialog. For some reason, it spits it way down at the bottom of my screen. But let's go ahead and do what we did previously. And then the password. Okay, so it looks like I'm in now. And I can view all of the databases and all the tables from here. You can see in the data tool operations window, it's trying to fulfill my request. And let's go ahead and view data. All right, took a second for some reason. I think it's just the latency of working across the internet, so just be aware of that. But yeah, everything I would be able to do normally with SQL Server Object Explorer, I can do it here with Azure SQL. Very cool. Let's move on. Let's close this out, and let's close this as well. Now what I want to do is switch over to the preview portal, because there is something interesting there that I want to show whenever you create. Let's see, how do I get there? Oh yeah. Let's go to the new portal. When you create a new database, you can choose the resource group that you want it to be a part of, and there's a neat little feature that allows you to create a sample database, the AdventureWorks database. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and browse. Actually, I want to go ahead and create a new SQL database. And here I'm going to give it a name, My Adventure Works. And then I can select the source, a blank database with the latest preview features, or a sample database, or I can create it from a backup. We'll maybe use that option a little bit later, but I'm going to choose sample. Here I can choose which sample. There's only one right now, this Adventure Works LT. The smaller version of a larger AdventureWorks example. I can choose the pricing tier, which I'm going to choose basic in this case, and select that. I'm going to choose the server that I want to put it on, or create a new server from here. And let me go ahead and just select the newest one I created right there. And then I guess I have to give it the login. Let's see if that worked. And now I can choose the resource group. Again, if that's important to us, if we want to group all of our services related to a given project in a resource group, we can select it here, choose a subscription, and then choose the collation option, which is something you typically do in SQL Server. I think it's pretty much fixed in this case to SQLite in general. All right, so I think I should be able to do everything I need to do there. Let's go ahead and click Create. We can see that now it's creating that SQL database. And let's see what the error was. All right. Well, for some reason, it had a problem importing that sample database. Not sure what that was all about. Maybe it needed the preview features, and I didn't enable that. I'll have to go back to the drawing board and figure out why that didn't work. But in theory, that should work. At least you saw the process of creating a database on the new portal as well. Okay. So that pretty much sums up what I want to talk about. Oh yeah, there's one last thing. Let's go back to this article. And step number 9, near the bottom of this article, talks about connecting to your SQL database from C Sharp. And it says that one of the things you're going to need to do is account for throttling or other service faults that could terminate a connection or temporarily block new connections. So throttling, we talked about throttling before. It's going to, in the context of Azure websites, if you're trying to use more resources for the database than what you paid for, then you might be throttled. And so your code has to be able to, it says here, has to be able to be resilient to transient faults. And they have something with Patterns and Practices group called Transient Fault Handling Application Block. It's part of the Enterprise Library 6. And they demonstrate how to use that here. So I'm just going to refer you to that as a source to actually work using C Sharp and connecting in a reliable manner to your Azure SQL database. All right, so that pretty much sums up what I wanted to talk about in this lesson. Let's move on beyond the basics and look at some other scenarios like migration, backups and restores, things of that nature. We'll see you in the next couple of modules. Thank you.